However, the economic aftermath is something that we are all going to suffer from. There are different phases that the state is reopening in. We are currently in one of those phases, supposedly, if all goes accordingly, and June 20th would begin the second phase. But I got to tell you something, folks. We may not recover from this for well beyond this year. It could actually be a year from now. Joining us now, and I believe he's joined us in the past as well, as the assistant professor of economics over at University of New Haven, Patrick Gourley. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. How have you been?
I've been bored, like many people.
What have you been doing with your downtime?
It's like most professors, I have to both teach and do research. So now that the teaching's over for the semester, I've been shifting gears and trying to get as much research in before I eventually go up for tenure.
Oh, good, 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 good. Well, we'll wish you luck with that then.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about it right now. Let's talk about it for the summer, and then we'll talk about it going forward, maybe in 2021 and onward. Right now, what path are we on?
Well, so there's been a lot of debate over how the bounce back will be, whether we're going to have this V-shaped curve where we had a very steep, increase in employment and steep drop in GDP, and then whether we'll bounce back and that would be kind of like a V-shape versus a U-shape where we have the steep drop and then kind of prolonged recession and then maybe a slower bounce back. My big concern right now and what I want to make clear is that I think that for every additional week that the economy stays shuttered, we then move from a V more to a U. So if we, keep lockdowns in place or phase one in place for an extra 2 weeks, that doesn't mean we delay the recovery by 2 weeks, but by potentially 4 or 6 or 8 weeks.
Oh, so like one week of could equal 3 weeks.
Easily.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. I wasn't expecting to hear that. We were all in a good mood until we heard that. Good Lord. So whereabouts are we then if we were to do the look at the equation and do the math on it? Whereabouts would we be right now?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's impossible to predict, and we're never going to have a counterfactual. So we don't know for sure if we open today versus 1 week today how the time would change. It's just that with every additional week, you're going to have more and more businesses going out of business. So instead of being closed and then reopening, they're then closed permanently. And that causes much longer spells of unemployment, right? If you're unemployed,
sure,
all the businesses are open, it's not nearly as hard to find a job as if you're unemployed. And then when you can go back to work, half the businesses or a third or a quarter of the businesses are closed.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Well, news that we did not want to hear, but maybe some people kind of figured in the back of their minds that was the potential and the path that we're heading towards. You hear about the PPPs that are available to these business owners and the criteria that must be met in order to obtain those PPPs. Will that help at all?
You're referring to the personal protection gear?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's just going to depend what consumers do. And I don't want to be totally pessimistic. I still think we're going to recover. Things will get back to normal.
Oh, I do too, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we're anywhere near to a Great Depression just because of the way the federal government has responded. The $2 trillion bailout was a very good thing and will help immensely. It's just going to be how consumers respond. And nobody knows for sure. There's been surveys in my own industry of higher education. At one point, they were saying a sixth, maybe a fifth of students wouldn't go to university this fall. They'd defer and not attend at all. I was always highly skeptical of that because what are they going to do? They've spent the last couple of months with their parents if they're high school seniors. I don't think that's something they permanently want to, continue. And then sure enough, I know at least at the University of New Haven where I teach, our numbers are virtually the same as last fall. So our right now, and who knows what will happen, but right now we're projecting roughly the same size class in fall 2020 is fall 2019. So despite what the surveys say, once you actually have to act, I think people are going to want to get back to normal.
You see, now that is good news. And I'm glad that you say that, because all we hear out of, well, many different forms of media is the doom and gloom aspect of everything. And oh, we've got to prepare for the apocalypse here, you know, and we've got to prepare for everything being shut down and nothing being back to normal or what it was prior to the coronavirus. And I'm glad to hear that the numbers will remain level, you know, for University of New Haven. But let's look at businesses that are not yet reopened during this first phase. And let's look at the second phase where we're looking at hair salons and so on and so forth, and restaurants that will be allowed to, hopefully, if all goes accordingly, allow indoor dining at maybe 50% capacity. It's a step in the right direction for sure, but it's still, you know, these restaurant owners, particularly these mom and pops that have sunk their life savings into it, they need full capacity. They need to be selling alcohol from their bar because that's where their most of their markup is, as opposed to, you know, food or their entrees that they're serving. And they need to keep a packed house. How can they continue to survive even at 50% capacity?
That's going to be really tricky. I mean, when you just look at the numbers, there's a reason that something like a third of restaurants go out of business within 2 years of opening,
right.
And that's without...
Yeah, that's without a pandemic, right?
Yeah. So I think it's going to be really difficult. I hope the government continues to step in and provide various forms of relief. I think that certain industries, and the restaurant industry kind of comes first to mind, along with concert venues and a few others, there could be a systemic change that does take a really long time to come back from. It's important to remember, though, that those hopefully are going to be the worst hit industries, and that the vast majority of firms are going to be able to stay in business, and 6 months from now, a year from now, we'll be back to normal.
Well, so then you really, there are some businesses, or maybe even some industry, that's perhaps a better way to term this, that will bounce back faster than other industries. What industry is it better to be in because it'll have a faster rebound, and what industry will have the slowest rebound?
Yeah, I think anything that has high density of people is going to be the worst hit. So, you know, especially when you talk about the airlines, that's going to be really bad. You talk about restaurants or bars, that's going to be tough. Again, any sort of venue. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the sporting industry and with major sports, because although they probably won't have packed stadiums, most of their money ultimately comes from TV contracts.
Yeah.
And that could actually go up, because in this, let's say that there was a second surge of the coronavirus in the winter or in the fall, right? What are you going to do on Sunday afternoons in November other than watch the NFL if the NFL is playing their games in empty stadiums? So some industries actually might not suffer that much, even if they have to do things like have empty stadiums.
And it makes you wonder if they'll even have those games, because, you know, you're looking at a full contact sport. You could not possibly have social distancing. I mean, it's one thing to not have fans in the stands, but NASCAR, for all intents and purposes, you're the only one in the cockpit of that vehicle that's driving around the track. You know, I mean, there's pit crew members, and I understand that, but you can even social distance to some degree behind the pit wall. You know, so, and I only bring up NASCAR because as far as I know, that's the only sport that's really come back to, you know, to full force, sans the spectators, of course. But I'm wondering if they'll even be Major League Baseball or the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I hope baseball can come back. I've seen a lot of epidemiologists have said that if you were to design the worst sport, it would be basketball. Just because of the amount of close contact. But at the same time, I think Germany has already restarted all their main soccer leagues, and that, you know, is obviously a lot of proximity between players. And so if that doesn't turn out to be problematic, I think the United States and our major sports leagues can look at Germany and these other countries and try and figure out a solution.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, because I'm a big baseball fan myself. I know a lot of our listeners are. And from what I understand, I think it's 4th of July weekend, sometime in early July, MLB plans to reinstate, you know, their sport. I want to look at, though, the public perception. You know, it's one thing to reopen the state in whatever phases that the governor chooses. It's another thing to wonder, you know, will the consumer respond? Just because it's open doesn't necessarily mean that there's confidence by the consumer. You know, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about as far as whether or not they'll actually come out of their house and patronize not only these restaurants, but even these retailers.
Yeah, and that's ultimately what causes recessions, right? If everybody thinks that a recession will happen or a recession will continue, then it does continue because people aren't spending their money, they're saving it. And something most economists didn't see coming is the amount that people have been saving their stimulus checks and their top-ups for unemployment from the government. But again, I think it's not going to happen overnight, but as the days turn to weeks, people are going to look at their friends or their acquaintances that are going out and are spending money, and then they'll shift accordingly.
Yeah, because I'm looking at other states as well, and they're so far ahead of us. I mean, they're not only back, restaurants back to 100% in a lot of these other states, but the consumer confidence is a lot higher than we have here. And I think that, and it kind of goes back to one of the first things that you were telling me, is that, you know, that'll just prolong Connecticut from getting back, you know, to where we were before.
Yeah, and I mentioned this last time we talked. It is important to note that 2019 was a fantastic year for the U.S. economy, and
right.
Even, you know, the Connecticut economy was doing really well. So don't use 2019 as the benchmark. 2019 was not the average. It was a very good year.
Good
so
point.
Even if things aren't quite as good with 3.8% unemployment in 2021 or 2022, that doesn't mean we haven't recovered.
Okay, so what should we be looking at then?
I mean, it's kind of where do you want to draw the line? I would definitely say if unemployment's around 5%, then that's a great kind of metric. You never really expect to go below 4%, even if you're closer to 6%. That
okay.
doesn't mean your economy is ailing.
No, and that's a great point. And you're absolutely right. I remember that part of our conversation the last time I had you on. Sorry, so then based on the trajectory that we're currently on, how long would it take for unemployment to get back down to 5 or even 6%?
That you're gonna need a crystal ball for.
Okay, fair enough. But what you're saying is that this is not insurmountable, you know, that it's not, it really doesn't have to be doom and gloom. Stop listening to the naysayers, and we can be, once again, not only a thriving nation, but as thriving a state as our legislators and government will allow us to be.
Yeah, and something I've been pushing for is we need to start thinking about more targeted restrictions. I think personally the most harm that's being done is to the low-income children and, you know, minors in Connecticut and across the country. They're really hurting from not being in school, and they're the ones that are least vulnerable to the coronavirus. It's not that they're totally safe, but there's definitely, as you were talking about earlier, that age gap. And so we need to start thinking about, hey, how can we help the people that are least vulnerable get back to normal as fast as possible while then protecting those that are most vulnerable and start having kind of these targeted lifts of the lockdown.
One of the questions or even concerns that I hear on a daily basis from our listeners is, you know, will we ever get back? And I know you just addressed that, hopefully the sooner the better. Realistically, are we looking at a year from now? Are we looking at a year and a half from now? I've just pretty much wiped out the rest of this year as far as, you know, any resemblance to what it was. I know I'm not going to make the comparison, as you just said a moment ago. I'm not going to compare it to 2019. But, you know, can we get back to somewhat of a decent economy in a year's time by next May? Is that totally unrealistic, or is that a goal that's attainable?
I think it's possible. It's part of it is just recognizing what does it mean to go back to normal. I mean, people like to complain and the face masks are kind of weird and unnerving. But ultimately, if you're wearing a face mask and still going to a movie theater and everybody else is wearing a face mask and 50% of the seats are empty, is it really that different? You're right. It's not like you're talking thunder in movies anyway and it's dark. So I think it's recognizing that there might be small changes that are with us for a long time, but ultimately aren't the biggest deal.
I see. And, you know, we've also talked about a moment ago, even today, you and I have spoken about some businesses that may close, not just temporarily, but permanently. How about, though, historically, when we've had either tragedy or recession, Or even we can go back to the 1930s of a depression where, you know, where people were, the unemployment rate was, you know, 15 to 20%, which is, you know, what we're close to right now. Actually, we're even surpassed that a little bit. But yet there was innovation that came out of it. There were new industry that got introduced to us. And it kind of goes back to the old saying, as one door closes, another opens. Using opportunity as that door, do you see new industry coming out of this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's always been creative destruction, and a recession can definitely help that. When you have a boom period like we had and from 2000, especially 2015 and 2019, you're going to have bloat in sectors that aren't operating efficiently because there's just so much money to be had and so easy to make gains. Where a recession then kind of, you know, it's survival of the fittest, as we all know, and so you'll have the best firms or the most adaptable firms that will not only continue but will thrive and be the first to bounce back. I think, for example, you're seeing a lot of that in the tech industry where a lot of their stocks have already kind of come back to not quite pre-crisis levels, but we're getting up there, and some of their revenue streams are looking pretty healthy.
I only have about a minute left, Patrick. If somebody was to start a business right now, what would that business, what would be the most ideal business to turn a profit be?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I don't know, maybe start making custom face masks.
Well, yeah, okay. Well,
your face on it.
In the short term, you're right, it probably would be. But looking at it from a careers perspective, where you want to be around for a while, what industry would it be in? At least give me the industry if you can't pinpoint an exact business.
Yeah, I'm looking at tech, which actually hasn't changed. I would have said tech 2 years ago. I'll say it today. It's right.